The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
You're listening to Voss and Bonnie's My Wife Hates Me on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com. La 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 la
la la la la la la la la la la la la la. She really hates him, it's really true. Why did she marry this jackass Jew? Some people say that opposites attract, but this seems more like a suicide pact. He's totally sober, she's not that drunk. He's really old and she's got some smunk. He's totally holy as an asinine bomb, and she's just a little less dumb. She really hates him, it's really true. But somewhere deep down, she loves him too.
Testing 1, 2, testing 1, 2, 3. Here we go. We're doing it. We're doing it. Doing it. Doing it. Doing it. We're doing it. Are we doing it? Testing.
We're doing it. Doing it. Doing it.
Doing it. Doing it. Doing it. Good morning. Welcome to My Wife Hates Me podcast.
It's Monday.
Monday, August 21.
It's the day of the eclipse.
Yeah, what time?
Look at that.
What is that?
Oh my God, it's a burn. An eclipse on my finger. I burnt my, just that little place right there.
Ew, it's a big fucking bubble.
And now it's
bubble.
Like a huge bubble.
Oh my God, it's disgusting. Everything about you on your finger is disgusting. You look pretty, you lost a lot of weight. Bonnie's looking skinny. Looking healthy, CrossFit finally, 3 years. Starting to work. So folks, if you join CrossFit,
it's not the CrossFit.
If you join CrossFit, you better be on a 3-year plan.
It's not the CrossFit that did it.
What did it?
I started starving myself.
I had a dream last night that at our house, Rogan was at our house, Norton was at our house, and someone else. What's her name that was in your movie? Nikki Glaser.
Oh.
So I go, hey, you guys want to do a few minutes on the podcast? We'll do our podcast. You know, just a few minutes. So Rogan said yes. Norton goes, nah, I'm not into it. Like, Norton got upset when I asked him. And no answer from Nikki. So then we were getting ready to start our podcast, and we had all these salmon there.
We went big time.
Yeah, but they were fucking it up. They did 2 minutes of music in the beginning, then all these sound effects, and
you were like, wait, this is how we start. Test.
Yeah, and then all the stuff, and then we're trying to do it, and, you know, and then next thing you know, there's too much noise, there's bulldozers outside the house, and I just blew it off. We blew Rogan as our a good guest in my dream, and I blew it off. And then me and Rogan and some other guy were walking down the street, and some guy
the
came.
The other guy.
I don't know. Some black dude came up and tried to, I guess I don't have to say black, but he tried to rob us with a gun.
In your dream even?
Yes. And then.
Muggers black?
Well, I mean, I guess we're in a black neighborhood. And then he just handed us the gun. Said, I don't need a gun, I'll fight you guys. And then I woke up. But, you know, we could have had a good podcast in my dream. Can you? Why did you start playing with the dog?
She brought the ball over to me, and then it started barking. So in order to for her not to bark, I picked up the ball.
Well, do something with that dog.
Come on.
She won't even get on your lap. All right, let's get going. I just woke up.
Why are you mad at me? You're the one who started and doing the talking.
Who's? I'm not mad at you.
Okay,
why?
Let's get going. Like, I did something wrong.
Yeah, let's get started. You know, I always got to start it. Start it. Okay, go.
Hey, it's Wednesday.
It's not Wednesday, it's Monday.
Oh, it's Monday. That's why I don't start. It's the day of the eclipse.
Tell me some eclipse stories.
Well,
eclipse stories.
You can't look at it or you'll wreck your eyes. But apparently that's not necessarily true. It's overhyped.
Why do you think it's overhyped? I've known that my whole life.
Because you probably don't look at it long enough for it to do any damage.
The second it comes on, I put baby oil in my eyes to magnify them. Then I look.
Baby oil?
Yeah.
Remember you last night you wanted me to fry your soft shell crabs in baby oil?
I didn't say baby. I meant olive oil. Hmm. And whoa, Bonnie remembers everything.
I gotcha on that one.
So,
well, what do you have to talk about today? Is there anything that you want to go over?
Let me think.
What's been happening in your life? You've been working a lot. How's your golf game?
A little better. I think I'm figuring it out. I'm building. My whole game is gone. My whole summer, my whole life, my whole hobby. That's all I have. I mean, I'm going to go buy a new bow today, I think.
Oh, yeah. Do you have the bow and arrow because of, what's his name? You just said his name.
Oh, Rogan?
Rogan.
No, but I heard he does it, too.
Oh, so people accuse you of doing it just because of him.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I do everything he does. Except jog and jog along a mountain, go up and down a mountain running. He does intense workouts. I don't do that shit.
Oh.
I just lift. I don't do anything intense.
No. Last night got a little intense.
Got a little intense.
Me flowers yesterday. Why is that?
Because you worked so hard yesterday and you were a good mom. And, you know, every now and then lately, Bonnie's been trying to draw me into fights, but I won't fight with her anymore.
I'm not drawing you into fights. How's that? When?
You did the other day on the phone.
When?
When we were talking about you losing weight, and then you tried to draw me into a fight. I compliment her and this and that, and she somehow turned it around. I realize she's fucking crazy, and I'm not going to fall for it, so I'm not going to fight because I don't have it in me anymore. And I'm just going to go, okay, whatever. And, you know, then last night when she was walking to the dumpster,
out the garbage.
Not to herself.
No, listen.
And I said, see how you raise your voice?
No,
you can't have
already a. Already you're like such a dummy about what's going on. Do you really not get it? Do you really think I'm crazy?
No, I think you.
You sat in your car for however long, I don't know why, but then when I said, oh.
Five minutes. 7 minutes.
Maybe a little longer than that. Because
no.
I cleaned up the entire dinner, washed the dishes, swept the floor, and got the kids and the dog ready to go for a walk to the park.
Don't say what I was doing in the car, because that's a secret, but don't say what I was doing. But
you were recording something. It doesn't matter what.
Yeah, well, don't
and I have to say, recording something now after that, or it's like, oh, he does autoerotic in the car.
Autoerotic?
Forget it.
Oh, were you? What is autoerotic?
Where you choke yourself when you're orgasming?
Yeah, but there's nowhere to hang yourself in the car.
Okay, well, why do I even try? Why am I even? Why sprinkle this with any kind of humorous thing?
Oh, because you called it.
Break it down.
Oh, because you called it autoerotic because it's in the car. Auto. Is that what? That was the joke.
No, the joke was that you're doing something. That you can't, don't tell him what I'm doing in the car. Oh, he's knitting. He likes to knit in the car. How's that? Is that better?
No, people know I don't.
He can't knit in your car.
People know I don't knit.
You know, you're like everyone on Twitter that just doesn't get jokes.
I'm everyone.
Just take everything literally. Yeah. Good. Blocked. You are blocked now.
From who, you?
Yeah, in life.
I don't think you were even following me on Instagram.
I do follow you on Instagram. I've liked and commented on your shit.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff, right?
You're amazing. What a terrific guy. What? Well, what do you want me to say?
Some guy just emailed me.
No, tell him why you got mad at me.
I didn't get mad at you. You got mad
when
at me.
When I'm coming, then.
Didn't get mad at you. You got mad at me.
You sat in the car. You said, after dinner, you said, I'm going to the gym for 20 minutes, which the girls laughed at, Raina
why?
And her friend, that you would only go to the gym for 20 minutes.
Because I was only doing one body.
You didn't see them making fun of you?
No, they weren't making fun of me. I was only doing one body part. I did sit-ups earlier in the day. And stretching, I started stretching, and I did sit-ups, so I only had to go do back. I did 14 sets.
Okay, it doesn't matter. I'm
14
saying,
sets takes 20 minutes. Go ahead.
You accused me yesterday of not having a sense of humor. You're zero. The girls were laughing at you when you said, I'm going to do 20 minutes at the gym. They were like...
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were. They were rolling on the floor. They were like, 20 minutes!
Where did you get that from? They didn't laugh.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's just say for your sake they didn't. They just sat there stone faced. You got up, left. I dealt with everything. I taking the garbage out, and you pull up in your car. I go, you're back in the gym already? And you're like, are you dumb? Are you an idiot?
I didn't say that. I said, don't you have any sense of time?
You have no sense of time. I was sitting in my car for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you go, then I go, oh, I'm sorry if I didn't fucking like pinpoint exactly how long you were gone. Then I'm the one starting the fight. Are you dumb? You have no sense of time. Oh, look at Bonnie. Try to start a fight with me. So I'm fucking throwing the garbage into the dumpster and trying to untangle the dog from the leash.
You didn't try to untangle the dog. I don't remember that part. Why are you staring at me? Untangle the dog from the leash.
Yes, when I was throwing the garbage into the dumpster, I had to untangle her because then she would have went up with me when I went to lift it with the other hand. God. But again, like what?
What?
Why pick apart minutia? Like, who cares?
So what are you saying?
Like, where does that get you when you say to me, you weren't untangling the leash? Like, what does that buy you in this story?
That you're adding more stuff to what you did.
Oh, and you want to make sure. Yeah. I will say this. She did make me dinner. She
delicious.
She did clear the table. She did put everything in the dishwasher. She did wash all the pots and pans. She did clean the counters. She did sweep. She did get the dog and the garbage and take them out. The dog leash part, I'm gonna have to call you out on that one. Yeah. So folks, when she says she did all that stuff, she didn't untangle the dog from its leash. Yeah. So just so you know how much she exaggerates.
But you did do a lot of stuff.
But really, that's how your brain works. You're like, yeah, I don't want people to think she did all that. So I'll call her on that dog leash thing.
Maybe I'll get a tattoo today.
Ugh, I couldn't possibly hate you more than I do right now. If I don't divorce you in this second, I'll never divorce you.
Where would you go if you divorced me? Would you move to...
I'd stay here, bitch.
Where would I go?
I don't fucking give a shit.
Wait, you're going to take the house that I put together?
That you put together?
In the beginning.
Did you build this? I forgot about that. I untangled the dog leash, folks. No, you didn't. I built this house.
Wait.
Oh... Oh, I'm the exaggerator.
We'd have to live together divorced. I mean, I'm not going to move. You don't want to move.
I know a lot of neighbors that do that.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
They live together divorced?
Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to bring your new boyfriend or girlfriend over? You can't do that. That would be uncomfortable, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What? Why do you seem so aggravated all the time?
Because I know what you're doing.
I'm not doing anything.
Yes,
I'm just talking.
You're trying to like, oh, maybe if we're divorced, we could have group sex.
I wasn't even thinking of that. It's too early in the morning to think of that. All right. Anyhow.
So then, because you were a dick to me, and then even though I was the one who tried to start the fight, you also didn't jump out of your car and help me with the garbage or anything.
It was already in the
as a note.
It was already in the can.
No, it wasn't. You pulled up to watch me struggle with the dog in the garbage. And that's when you started calling me, what, are you dumb?
I don't think you were struggling.
The leash got tangled around the dog, and when I opened up the thing, the dog came up with the leash. I like literally pulled her almost off her hind legs even. It's a lie, folks. It's a lie. The dog did not get tangled in the leash.
All you had to do to say take the garbage out. You know, I've never said no to taking the garbage out. Never once have I said no.
Okay, well, I saw you leaving, and I saw the garbage there, and I was just too... I was like, oh, I can't.
You can't what?
Ask.
Why?
I have it in me. I'd rather just do it myself.
That's how I am. I say it on stage. I would rather somebody... I don't want to say it. It's stupid. But I know what you're saying.
No, say it, because now I don't even think that you have... that.
What?
You just realize your argument is completely
what?
Full of holes or something.
I don't have an argument. There's no
argument.
Then
what's the thing you say on stage?
No, that I would rather somebody not hold a door for me so I don't have to say thank you. Like it's not
Who's holding the door for old white men?
People hold the door for me all the time.
I don't. As soon as I see a white dude, I just fucking let it fly.
Oh, okay, Mrs. Anti-white people. You're so white people have it so easy. White
I
men.
Do not.
You always say, oh, white privilege. First of all, anything you say, you have. Okay, so don't be a hypocrite.
I never said I didn't.
So don't be a hypocrite.
I'm not
and
a hypocrite.
You've never marched with Black Lives Matter. You never folded and licked envelopes or did anything.
Well, nobody folds envelopes.
You know, you know what I'm saying. You never.
This is like how it is to have a conversation with you. I never fold envelopes.
No.
Let me miss the point entirely.
No, the point is you can't pretend you're some, like, radical or some...
I never pretended I was radical. I see privilege. I understand what it is. And that's all. I have an understanding of it.
Give me an example of privilege. How I'm privileged. Give me 22 examples. Give me two examples.
Of white privilege?
Of me. Me being privileged. Me.
Well, you get white male privilege. That's you just have it. People will listen to you even if you don't know what you're talking about. I'll give you an example of some privilege, okay, that happened.
That's what I just asked you.
No, this is okay, so I'm directing a movie that I wrote, okay? So yes, it's my first time directing a narrative. It's really not, because I actually did direct a bunch of shorts, but...
And women aren't funny.
But that's not that's a documentary.
No, but it's more... It was a comedy documentary with a beginning, middle, and end. It was really a movie.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
It was a movie.
Very good.
It was.
But I wasn't directing people to act. But anyway...
You were directing people.
Okay, Rich. Let me finish!
There's no reason to yell and wake up our child.
Okay, so... I have on set... me, then there's like eight men, right, that are just around their camera operators and DPs and...
Tell them what a DP stands for.
Director of photography. And there's producers and managers and whatever, all these people. And they have no problem. Now, they're all really nice guys. They're not mean or pushy or fucked up or anything. They're just... whatever. They're just men. So but they're constantly telling me what to do. Constantly.
Well, but they know because they're
well,
that's
this is
their
the thing.
Jobs.
I do. I'm not saying this is wrong. I'm just setting it up for the next set that I'm going to explain.
Segment? The next segment in the
yes,
story?
Yes. The whatever.
The payoff.
So even when I say, no, I want it done this way, or this is how I see it, or whatever, there's still a lot of, like, sometimes they talk over me, you know, sometimes they go ahead. One time one of the guys, you know, they would call action sometimes, you know. Then the guys would get into fights about, Bonnie's the director, you know. They would get in fights among themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
About, anyway, so it's not like I'm insignificant, and it's not like I'm mad about it. I'm learning a lot, so I'm taking it in. And I also know how to manage. I've been around men my whole career. So I'm not irritated by it, per se, okay? But then we get into this other shot at this other scene, and there's a man there who's not directly with the production, okay? And he starts telling all these guys how to set up the shot, okay? A guy who's never been on set before. It's crazy. Like, I feel like this happens all the time where men don't have that thing, or not men, but some people don't have that thing where they're like, hey, I'm telling, like, I should shut up because I know the least amount. They haven't assessed the situation. Like, I know less than everybody else here.
I've done that a lot.
What?
I always give my 2 cents.
I was going to say it reminded me of you, but I didn't want to get in a fight.
I've told
that. But you do tell people how to do their job sometimes when you don't know their job.
Some of it's obvious, but go ahead.
Okay, but why? If it's obvious, why would you tell them? Okay, so anyway, he's telling them. They're so polite to him. They're so respectful of this guy. Not one of them was like, hey, we got it. We're doing it. They didn't talk over him. They didn't. It was like, oh my God, I'm the director, and they're completely able to tell me, no, we're doing it this way, or listen, just watch what we're going to show you here, blah, blah, blah. They didn't do it to that guy who has nothing to do with film.
Mm-hmm.
That's privilege. That's, no, they all respected him because he's a dude.
That's not white privilege. That's male. That,
well, that,
to,
that the white male privilege comes from just walking in anywhere and acting like, no, people are going to listen to you.
And plus,
expecting people to listen to you.
Plus, they could have thought he was the money behind it, and they're not going to fucking. They don't know who's financing it, so they could have thought he was the money man.
Well, that's white privilege, that you would even think that that guy was financing it.
Well, if he's hanging around the set all the time, what do you think he is there for? So you're probably thinking, oh, this is the financer. You know, there's a million things going on in their head, but that has nothing to do with white privilege. That's just men.
That's
fucking
male privilege.
That's male privilege. So you can't mix up male privilege,
well,
with
it,
white
privilege. With a touch of white, I would say he's got male privilege.
There was no white privilege whatsoever.
Yes,
that.
Because if people gave him respect that he had the money, that's white privilege.
No, that's not white privilege. If it was a black guy, it would have been the same thing.
No, I don't think it would
have. They wouldn't have said shut up. They would have said,
I mean, oh, they wouldn't have said shut up.
They would have thought that guy's the money too. That's all. There's the white privilege thing is, I would imagine, if you're going for a job and they hire you over another person, even though that person's more qualified.
I'm sure that happens all the time,
yes,
too.
But that also happens in comedy in reverse, too. You know?
Excuse me. Yeah.
In comedy, I mean, there's quotas. You know, clubs go, well, we got to have a certain amount of black comics, female comics.
No, but they don't. That's,
oh, they
not
do.
True at all. Maybe with black guys they do, but they certainly don't give a shit with women. They don't.
Well, then again, that's male privilege, not racial privilege. But I think they do give a shit with women. I think they go.
Go,
well,
look at some of the lineups. Go look at them. There's.
Oh, I'm talking about road clubs with headliners.
Road clubs with headliners. There's a lot of. There's still just an enormous amount of white dudes, which is fine. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to take work away from,
well,
anybody.
The ratio.
I'm just saying,
of,
as a fact,
the ratio of white male headliners to black and female headliners is a lot higher. I'm not saying they're better, I'm not saying they're worse, but the ratio.
But why do you think they're higher?
Why do you think there's more?
Why do you think there's more white guys doing stand-up than any other?
Because more
race?
White guys get into it and
because
stick
they,
with it.
Because there's more support for them.
No, sir. I think guys, their instinct, they have
It's not
strong,
about. It's not. It's really.
It's a stronger drive.
You're wrong if you think it's because. Oh, but white guys just happen to be funnier. It's not.
No, no, I
didn't
say funnier.
They get more support by their sense of humor because there's more white guys that are in charge of clubs. It's like you are making the people that you directly relate to laugh. So that's an easier thing than a guy watching a woman who they might be like, oh, no, look, I don't think this is funny. This isn't funny to me. So then they think, oh, it's not funny to anybody.
No. It's in the beginning, people, one, in my opinion, guys have more a drive. It's more of an instinct that the guy has to be the provider and has this drive in them, especially when it comes to comedy. Then if you went to a club and there were, say, an open mic and there was 25 female comics or women, mm-hmm. lady comics, and like three male comics.
I like the term lady comic. A lot of people don't, but I do.
What do you call a female comic? If there's 25 broads doing comedy,
thank you.
And three dudes, well, those girls would bond. They would help each other more. They would have more of a passion and a drive because they would have more
support,
people to relate to, and they would help each other like guys do because they would be the what do you call it? What's the word?
Majority.
The majority of comics there. But when you go to say an open mic and there's two chicks doing comedy and 20 guys, of course the guys are going to bond together. There might be one or two that might help the broads, but it's just the ratio is so much higher, so they're going to get better and help each other more and find out where more open mics are and hang out together, and it's just the ratio, so that makes it harder. You know, if you're playing,
but the
sports.
Ratio is like that because it's already been set up like that.
No, it's because more guys want to do it and
well,
do
more
it.
Guys want to do
I'm
it.
Not saying they're better or worse. It's just more. So, you know, they're going to help each other. It's just how it is. And then, you know, I don't think a club owner goes, oh, that's funny because I can relate to it. Club owners just care about money and selling tickets. They don't give a fuck about being funny nowadays. So it's just,
I think there's still a bias.
The bias is.
The bias is everything. The bias is life.
Yeah, the bottom line
is.
Because
that's just the way it is.
The bottom line is money. The bottom line is.
Right.
Am I going to make money?
It's not saying that you can't get through, but I'm telling you, it's just if you're a white guy doing comedy. You can say to yourself, it's harder because I have more white guys to compete against, but they want more white guys. That's like you still get to swim in the middle lane. The audience wants that from you. They're looking forward to it.
But the industry doesn't want it. The industry,
that's true. Things are changing in that direction. I see that too.
They've been changing. The industry wants minority. Wants women,
but okay,
wants
but
young.
When you feel like,
if
oh
you're
my
an
god,
older white guy, you're
okay. But can I say this? When you feel like, oh my god, they're just taking these guys that aren't as funny as me, just because they happen to be black or Asian or female, and it's so annoying because I've put in the time and I worked hard and I'm a white guy. But think about, that's the way that it's been in the reverse for so long. Like, where women couldn't get ahead even if they were as funny or funnier than men, because that's just the way it was. At that time, white guys were jumping over everyone.
Well,
you don't think that's true?
I don't.
That other minorities have had that for so long, and now, and then everyone said, don't complain, just be funnier, and now that it's happening to white guys, they're really getting upset about it. It's like, oh, just be funny, people will notice you if you're funny enough. I guess you're not funny enough. I mean that's what we've been hearing for our whole career.
I never get mad over race. I get mad if I'm funnier than somebody and I don't care if they're white, black, Puerto Rican, whatever. I never go, oh,
Puerto Rican.
Yeah, why?
Oh my god.
What?
Where is your humor?
Puerto Rican, what else do you say? PR?
No, I was just joking. Like, there would possibly be a funny Puerto Rican.
Oh, I get it. So, I not personally, I don't care if you're white, black, Puerto Rican, lady. If you're funny and you move.
Sarah Silverman used to have that joke where she goes, I don't care if you're white, black, Asian, but only those three.
That's funny. She's funny.
Mm-hmm.
She's hot. I think she's hot. She's hot.
She's still hot, you think?
She stays hot.
Yeah, she's
going to be hot for the rest of her life. With the industry. I mean hot. She's
Oh.
What would you think I was saying?
I was just imagining her old, like, oh, is she still hot?
With the industry.
Oh, but with the industry.
That's what I was saying. She's hot.
She's relevant.
Always
but
stays.
Like every female comic at some point turns into like some fucking, like, what? I don't understand why you have to have such a cause in your life.
Have a cause?
I think it's women that don't.
No,
have,
it's not. All entertainers almost.
No, but women that don't have children, they always have some huge cause at some point. It's like, I thought you wanted to not have children so you could fucking live your life. Your child now is your fucking liberalism.
It's whoa. Your baby. So you're against liberalism?
I'm against babies.
Most entertainers that make a lot of money.
You know what? I just generally, I can only think of two now. So I take it.
Yeah, but a lot of them do. And some of them also too feel guilty about the money they're making. And they have to, you know, because they probably never had that kind of money in life. And they're going, holy shit.
Why? What are they giving all their money away?
Oh, they give some and donate time. So you can't, or.
Well, you should donate some time. If you're a comic or an entertainer, you're supposed to be doing like benefits and stuff.
You can't keep what you got unless you give it away. That's what they say in life. You ever hear that?
Yes, from you thousands of times.
You can't keep what you have unless you give it away. And I'm not talking about, it's just, you know, give back. Give back.
To who? You, according to you, no one helped you. So who are you giving back to?
I'm giving back to the people that helped kept me sober.
Who? The organization?
Just in general. I carry the message of
sobriety. Do you give money to that organization?
No, they don't accept outside contributions.
So who supplies the coffee?
That's from donations at in the meeting when you
oh.
They pass the basket. They don't take outside contributions.
You think anybody ever steals the basket and goes buys drugs with it?
Fred.
Fred did it?
Uh-huh.
You're a friend of, what's his name again?
Bill.
You're a friend of Bill's? It really is so corny. Do you know that there's all... Okay, let's talk about this for a second. There's all this evidence and research that the program is one of the worst ways of getting sober.
That's fucking ridiculous.
That there's all kinds of new ways now that people
You don't think those ways have lobbies that are fucking smashing the other ways? Of course they're going to say this
well,
has been
a good point because a lot of them are drug related.
Yes, they're all those. There's scams all over the country where they're opening up rehabs to make money.
Oh, the rehab thing is
the biggest
really sad. They give them drugs.
It's all bullshit.
Like literally like heroin and stuff.
12-step programs have been around for over 50 years. Okay, so if obviously
well, the
millions,
biggest problem people have with the 12-step program is if you're an atheist.
No, they don't
how
say.
How are you supposed to
easily,
do it?
They say it's a God of your choice.
But what if you don't have any God?
Then that's your choice.
So then who do you give over to?
Who you turn your will and lives and mentally over to? To a chair, to your friend Frank, to whatever. It's how you perceive it. There's no, you have to do this or have to do that. They're all suggestions. That's what they are. And that's where people...
Well, they say there's only like an 8% success rate.
Well, then if there's 8% success rate, that means...
Can I leave for a second?
Any other program has probably 1% success rate. Any other program, if they say a 12-step program only has an 8% success rate, well, then how much is the other success rate in churches or in therapy or, you know, whatever? You never hear those statistics. You know, people that try to quit doing drugs or alcohol and go, well, I'm going to quit drugs and alcohol and I'm going to go talk to my priest or rabbi or whatever. What's the success rate there? So if it's 8%, and it might, 12-step programs might be more than 8%. I don't remember the statistics. It might be less, but I guarantee it's more success rate than any other method of trying to get sober.
Well, what about this theory that after a certain amount of years, you can drink again?
That's bullshit because alcohol and drugs are not the problem. You're the problem. The problem.
Yeah, but maybe you fixed the thing that made you, you know, that way in the beginning.
When then it'll trigger
in
it.
In your 20s, you're a different person than you are in your 40s.
It'll trigger it. Maybe you can. Maybe some people can. Maybe some people can, you know. But when you quit drinking and doing drugs, the progression, if I say it's like cigarettes. Say I quit smoking cigarettes and I quit when I was at a pack a day. That's when I quit. And I haven't smoked for 5 years, 10 years. The progression of cigarette smoking is still inside of me. So when I start smoking again, it's guaranteed that it's gonna, or not guaranteed, it's most likely I'm going to smoke more than a pack a day where I left off, because the progression is still in you. You don't lose that progression. It's still there. So once you cross that fine line between social use and addiction.
Why is it a fine line?
Because there's social drinkers and social drug users.
Do you think that people can be alcoholics their entire lives?
Yeah, do people
like
do
functioning
it all
alcoholics?
Yeah, and
so then why do they need to quit? If they're
well, because one, well, who wants? Do you want to function on a 1 to 10 scale? Do you want to function at 5, or do you want to function be 8, 9, or 10? You're going to function, but you're not going to function as well. And also, too, you're going to damage your liver, the rest of your body. So, yeah, you could function, but you see that you're overweight. Your liver is fucking getting cirrhosis. So, yeah, you could function. There's functioning heroin addicts. There's peeping Toms, whatever.
There's functioning peeping Toms?
Yeah.
Like, peeping Tom is a disgusting thing, and yet
it
sounds so cute.
What do you
get
out of it?
It sounds so cute.
Just peeping.
Peeping Tom.
So, that whole theory. Anybody that does these fucking studies and this doesn't work or that doesn't work. Well, you know what?
It's been getting some real traction lately. I've seen a lot of articles about it. The truth about it.
Well, that's somebody's perspective, and that's somebody that had this experience in any organization or any group with that many people. Especially ex-addicts or alcoholics.
Heroin and then like later they quit heroin, but then they're like drinking stuff like that.
They just substitute.
I mean,
what? A drug is a drug is a drug. Alcohol is the oldest drug known to man. Alcohol was around before all of them.
Before magic mushrooms?
Before, yes. And Magic Mike was around before all the magic, all the magicians. So, you know, whatever works for you. If a 12-step program doesn't work and something else does, by all means, do what you have to do. Whatever works for you. It's your own personal journey. And if quit drinking and doing drugs, if you join a cult, that's a positive cult, and that gets you to stop from killing yourself and killing everybody around you, then go right ahead. Do what works for you. You know, I'm not against anything else. I'm not against anything else. I know what kept me alive, you know. So, whatever. That's all. Yeah, I just got an email. Someone has got some kind of program about depression and men and suicide and drug addiction. Some website, and they asked for one of our episodes, episode 20 something. Now I got to look at it. They said, can we post that episode on our website?
For what?
I guess that episode we talk about recovery or suicide or whatever. I don't fucking know.
Well, oh, no, because that's probably like trying to get you to commit suicide or
no,
something.
No, I'm going to go find the episode, though, and see what...
Wait, who said this? I zoned this out. Email. I was thinking about something else.
I got an email.
Your voice puts me to sleep. I'll be honest with you.
Yes. I got an email that some website about men's health and depression, addiction, suicide, you know, they try to help.
They can't post one of our...
Why?
Because we don't talk seriously about anything.
Oh, we do all the time. I just did just now. I just did just now.
I know, but really? Then I'm the one that's like, man, I don't buy it. Oh, friend of Bill's.
Yeah, well.
You fucking losers.
Anyhow, we're going to wrap this up soon because I got to go pooped. Poop.
Yeah, and that, like what? They're going to edit it or they're just going to put shit like that on there?
Whatever the episode is, I'm sure it's a great episode.
I don't like it.
We've had many major groundbreaking episodes that have saved lives and helped people.
No.
Yes. You'd
no,
be surprised.
No.
The humor we bring.
If we saved your life, tweet it. Tweet at us.
All right.
But I bet we're not going to get any tweets.
All right. I got to wrap this up. I got to go to the bathroom, and I can only hold it in for a minute or two at this point. Anything you want to plug?
Oh, my God. You have no control over your...
Not when it gets to this level.
Wow. Insane. And then how long? But then you're in there for so long.
Well, because I'm playing Scrabble.
So you're not actually going? You're just sitting
well,
there?
Yeah, well, I'm making sure it's all out of me. I don't just hop in and hop out. I don't want to do it all day long.
I do. I wait until the exact moment, then.
Well, the exact moment is right about now.
That's why I can go in public places, because I don't fuck around. It's like in and it's out.
What do you want to call this episode? Give it
a
name.
I'm in and it's out.
What's the name you want to give this episode?
We don't talk about the naming episode on the episode.
Okay, but let's do it this time so I know real quick.
I don't know.
Taking the garbage out?
No. Ugh, you're the worst at naming things.
Huh? Tangled dog?
Oh, God.
What?
You're what really you the it? Worst at naming things.
Why would I be the... Why do you say that's a good tangled dog?
No.
No?
No.
What works for you?
No.
Go with and give me a name.
Drink, you dink.
Oh, yeah. Yes. All right, I got to run. Listen, this weekend I'm at the Stand.
You should finish this next episode week, with the sound effects of a toilet flushing.
Next weekend at Mohegan Sun, go behind the wall.
Oh, you're going to do it with Karen Feehan?
I don't know if she can do it. They said they have somebody, but I said, well, they had someone in mind now. I go, well, I already asked somebody, so I'm trying to get her to do it.
You're really having some, you're really moving around, man. This is the most energy I've ever seen you have.
All right.
Are you getting chills?
We'll talk to you later.
Happens.
All right, we got to go. Next weekend, Mohegan Sun, come out. Labor Day weekend. Goodbye.
She really hates him. It's really true. Why did she marry this jackass Jew? Some people say that opposites attract, but this seems more like a suicide pact. He's totally sober, she's not that drunk. He's really old and she's got some smunk. He's totally holy as an asinine bomb, and she's just a little less dumb. She really hates him, it's really true. But somewhere deep down, she loves him too.